We will speak of the Lord's help from the prophet Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 11. Verse 11 in the 34th of Ezekiel. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. The Lord starts in this solemn chapter with the shepherds. The shepherds of Israel, those to whose charge was committed the oracles of God. And those who were, such as Hophni and Phinehas, brought solemn disrepute upon the old law and old temple services. And as we go on further in the history of Israel, we can see how God abominated their worship, because the tension is not what was ordained to be for their real good under the law and according to God's own mind, they turned it into complete evil. So that he says by more than one of his prophets, I cannot away with it, he says, I can't bear it. It is a stench in my nostrils. Malachi finally sums the matter up in the Old Testament. Therefore, refers to the complete failure of the old law in the hands of man. God put man under his own will, gave him the law of Moses, Mount Sinai, promised him every favor, and he undertook to engage it. But when it came to working it out, there was such a solemn failure that it proved itself, as Paul says, for what the law could not do. God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So in our reading of the Word of God, we need ever to distinguish between the old law and the new. Never confuse the two. Do not bring the old and compare it with the new after the manner of men. It is true that the old law contained much of a spiritual nature. True that the moral law still stands as man's guide and counselor as regards his neighbor. But it can do nothing but condemn. And there is no mercy under the old law. Fulfill it, keep it to the last jot and tittle, and heaven is yours. Break it in one point, and you're guilty of all. And there is the summing up of the position as regards the shepherd whom God so pointed there. Speaks to here that they just serve mainly for what they could get out of it. How Paul must have looked at such scriptures as this when he came into the position of an under-shepherd. No wonder he speaks about the love of money and ruling it over God's heritage, and warns Timothy concerning the evils, though the laborer be worthy of his hire, he is not to be a robber of the sheep, God deals at the top. As I think it's Mr. Philpott says, the fish always thinks of the head first. And so it is. We solemnly have to feel that we are under a tremendous responsibility to be faithful to your soul. We wish to give no offense, not in word or deed. On the other hand, we wish, pray for a clear conscience that none shall be able to say that we dealt deceitfully with you and hid from you the plain fact, whether you receive them or whether you do not. So this is preaching as we understand the setting forth of the gospel. The shepherd, therefore, scattered the sheep. There was no influence. There was no binding influence. They may and did have an outward form, even unto the time of Christ. Jesus analyzed it very solemnly and pointed out that although they kept the outside and the plate clean, within they were full of dead men's bones. He did not hesitate to point out to the shepherds in his day, Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors. He didn't hesitate. Here lay the root of the trouble. And let those of us that stand upon the walls of Zion ever keep it in mind that here lies the trouble, like priests, like people, start allowing this or that or the other, and away goes the foundation, eroded by evil. So God in this text, he put his own hand to it. For I, saith the Lord God, behold I, even I, is divine emphasis. You get it here and there. You don't want to gloss over it either. You think to yourself, if you were giving some edict or saying something in your family, I, even I, your father, tell you not to do this, you would be in a determined mood. You would give the clear impression that you meant it, and you put emphasis on it. When God speaks to his people thus, it is not to be idly put on one side. Behold I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. I'll do myself what was not done under my old covenant. My sheep was scattered. How oft would I have gathered thee? Quoted yesterday, I think, the prayer meeting. Very solemn scripture. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that killeth the prophet, how oft would I have gathered thee, the hen that gathered her chicks under her wing, but she would not. This is so clear. Israel under the law cannot in any sense apply to Israel. True Israel under grace, else we should be under our own power. How many of these chicks refuse the wings of the head until divine grace brings them to seek a shelter in Christ? But this was our Lord's own verdict in his day. They killed the prophets. They didn't imprison them. They didn't banish them like John was banished to Patmos. They made sure of them. They killed them, which was the final seal upon their damnation. It was death to the prophets, and with death, the end of God's message to them. No wonder, therefore, Jesus, who in his eternal glory before his incarnation had witnessed all these things coming to pass and seen his dear prophet, dear Jeremiah, down into the dungeon, and many, many others who had been reprobated by the people, rose up early, God said he did, stayed up late, preaching, sending his servants, but they would not. Now, he said, I, even I. The subject is sheep. And he speaks to his sheep. He does to himself when he comes to earth. One of the most tender of our Lord's parables is that of the sheep. There's something most gracious about it, whether it be the lost sheep in the parable, or whether it be the good shepherd. There is a reality he brings only with him from the archives of heaven. The same truth. Are still sheep. He is still the shepherd. He is spoken of here that the Lord will raise up. It gives us no doubt about it. I will set up one shepherd over them, says the 23rd verse, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. Now I know that many regard these prophecies and similar ones as the complete restoration of the literal children of Israel in the land of Canaan, and that there they shall reign unmolested, and all their enemies shall be put under their feet. I regard the day as a beautiful prospect of the fulfillment of such prophecies as these. There is a divided opinion, but the reality of it remains the same. Whether they be gathered together thus, or whether this in my own judgment is the overall picture of the Church of God, the house of Israel after the Spirit. He shall be made to lie down in green pastures. He shall be saved. She is saved. She's eternally saved to the wild beasts of the forest. Not one. Fear not, little flock. And they shall never perish. In my judgment, and I offer it only to you as my judgment, knowing the vast amount of discussion there has been upon this great subject, in my judgment, this peace, safety, security, only sets forth the more clearly the blessedness of the sanctity of the Church of God in Christ, that in this greater shepherd she has all she wants. There cannot be anything added to it. And this is where God says in this text before us, "Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out." God puts his hand to it. Now when we turn to the gospel and see the fulfillment of this, how glorious it is. He has put his hand to it. He had done it this time in the eternal covenant. But the first point is that he has sheep, a people, my flock, he calls them in the 17th verse, and as for you, O my flock, he has those who before knew, and these are scattered in the world among all nations. And they have to be searched for. Jesus saw me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God. There it is. Does not come home to your heart to know this? Do you want any other gospel truth than this, that the Lord began with you? Is not this the fact that he found you? You have to be searched for. Look what a remarkable means God has ordained for this searching. It's no easy thing, although I don't know anything about it. No easy thing for a shepherd to find a lost sheep, especially in eastern countries. And David knew much about this and had much experience of it. And the 23rd Psalm is a very sweet summary of what it entails. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." There the sheep are secured amidst the greatest danger. What does God use to search out? What did he put his hand to when he inspired his holy apostles to write? And when the subject matter of their writing was the great shepherd himself. What a remarkable matter is the first, second, third of Matthew and of Luke. And briefly Mark, and what a remarkable opening in John. "In the beginning was the Word." Divine inspiration. No wonder the devil assails it and seeks to undermine it and undo all that God has done with regard to the blessedness of our Bibles in our mother tongue. This is what God has used. Has he not used it? Where could we possibly be if we hadn't got this searching instrument in front of us? Where were you when God first began with you as regards seeking authority, what was right and what was wrong? Where did you go? Who could you rely on? What could you trust? Where was there any authority among men, anywhere, anywhere, that your troubled soul could go to? if it wasn't the word of God. Look how you were brought to rest upon it, not knowing that it was a light, a searching light. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. You did say, well, I don't want to look in there, and God began with you, did you? Your Bible became a thousand times more precious to you. It's one of the surprises to you when God began with you. And when you found that this word was a searching word, you perhaps had to walk alone, you perhaps had to be laughed at and suffer scorn. There were those who thought you were indeed old-fashioned, quite out of date. They do today. The scoffers haven't decreased, have they? By a long way. The devil keeps a good army of scoffers. And they are very, very successful people. They laugh you to scorn. Should you be old-fashioned enough to believe the Bible and say of it, it's the word of God, it's inspired. You're in good company. You will be among those who understand, and you will not be there to turn away from the inspired word of God. But this is the main instrument that the Lord uses here upon earth. When our country had no Bible, it was in heathen darkness. When the famous Wycliffe Pope said that he would so interpret the Bible and translate it that even the ploughboy should read it, it's come to pass. And with that came light. An earnest desire to see what the Bible said. Alas, now it's gone the other way. In this, the Lord is still supreme. He uses the inspired word. Peter puts double emphasis on this in his epistle, where he speaks of the angels desiring to look into those things that were written, being so inquiring in their minds as to wonder what the sacred prophets were writing. And then Peter goes on to say that they weren't writing for themselves. Well, they weren't. But unto us, he said. And finally, he finishes with this word, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto them. So when we come to view God's authoritative statement, I, even I, we need the confirmation of it in our hearts to know whether his word is such to us, and whether it is a word of light, power, favor. But it searches out. This is its purpose. And searching work, you see, may be looked at in many ways. You may look at it overground or underground. You may consider the 28th of Job, what is said there of the man who digs in the rock for the gold and the silver, or the brass or the iron. Now ancient language says of this that he overturneth the mountains by their roots. Graphic language, but still indicating the tunneling of the mind. We know it to be only too true, don't we? In search of coal, for example, in this country, miles and miles of tunnels under the ground. God's word is searching the dark labyrinth of your heart, the guilty thoughts hidden deep away, those veins of iniquity, ungodliness, hatred, enmity, which he has searched out and is still searching out, finding out your secret thought and letting you know about it, convicting you of it, not letting you pass by with an idle excuse that you couldn't help it, but bringing with it a solemn discovery. Searching out. Is not this God's wonderful work with his holy word? But the beauty of it is this, that this particular people love to be searched. The human mind says, as regards preaching the gospel, now don't you hurt their feelings. And don't you go and hurt the children's feelings, the young, else they won't come and hear you. Oh? What a misconception, isn't it? How natural. For the natural preacher, and there are still scores of them about, who trampled the Word of God under their feet and feed the flock with the residue, the trampled grass. Quite unpalatable to the believer. But no, it shall be as God has determined it to be. And it shall be straight from the shoulder. It will be in the language written on the wall in the time of Daniel. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. It will hurt, and what a mercy to sit under a sermon that hurts you. Really stings your conscience and send you home with your head down. How many have blushed under the preaching of the gospel. How many have felt the sting of it, but gone again for some more. Can't keep away from it. You know what this is? Because it's a real experience. Not something that you can say is denominational. It's worldwide, it's truth as the believer feels, receives, loves it. But God's word is a searching word. It doesn't confine itself to just the sheep, as you see here. It's the shepherds. Start with the shepherds. Start there. Don't exclude them as if they were free from any trouble or danger. And God does condemn them too, doesn't he? How solemn it is, therefore, to keep back part of the price under the pretense that you may hurt people's feelings, and they may not come again to hear you, and such things as that. On the other hand, does it mean to say that the shepherds have to purposely set out to injure? The preacher is to seek out acceptable words. You can scare a flock of sheep easily enough with your voice, can't you? Be easy enough, left to one's own spirit, to be harsh, unaffectionate, cold. Give offence on the left hand and on the right then. But not so with the work of God in the gospel. If it hurts, if it cuts, so it did at Pentecost. So it did in the hearts of the 4,000 who believed. Word of God struck them in the heart. They were pricked in their heart. So that this is how God searches out his sheep. And they are brought to realize that there is something wrong, or to come to the next great use, and now a person which God has chosen, appointed, his co-equal Holy Spirit, he searches out the sheep. He doesn't leave it in any other hands than divine. It could not be left in any other hand. No creature upon earth can go through the ranks of people and select or choose as one might even hear upon earth. We are equally ignorant as they were when they hung the two malefactors. No one knew that one of those poor men was a vessel of mercy. No one. There hung the two. And there hung just one that was searched out. When Paul was put into the Philippian jail and received the lashes at the command of the jailer, could he see in that man a vessel of mercy? Never, never. He was searched out. And who searched him out? How did Paul come there? Paul was directed. He wanted to go one way, but the Spirit suffered him not. And he had to go another. Now this guidance and application of the work of the Holy Ghost is God's appointed means. Jesus again brings it from the heavenly treasury, archive, and he speaks of his departure in the 14th and 16th of John. He says, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. When he shall come, he shall convince the world of sin. God is revealed, therefore, in the Holy Spirit's work of searching out. And this cannot fail. This is the great point and the glory of the gospel, that there can be no failure to find the lost sheep. Search. This is a beautiful word to contemplate, isn't it? When you consider the millions upon this earth and the millions that have already been here and passed away, the searching nature of divine grace. I go on sometimes for years right down to the borders of the grave, other times the infant of a few days, like David's son, that Bathsheba bore. He says, David shall not return to me, but I shall go to him. Infant salvation, that peep which we're given into the vast purposes of Jehovah, searching out. Paul rejoiced to say of this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In this, therefore, we have the sacred assurance that I, even I, will search my sheep. And this is where the Church of God is found. I shall be called sought out, says another prophecy by Isaiah. Sought out. Well, you meditate upon this in your own life. As a dying sinner, you stop and think. Did God seek you out? Did he search you out? Did he? What's the answer? I don't expect you to answer me, of course. Conscience will. And it'll give a true answer, too. This searching is by the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is twofold. It is, first of all, by divine guidance and overruling in providential manner. You have so many instances of this, which I've spoken many times before, of the overruling of the hand of God in grace, leading people to a particular place for a particular purpose. Their salvation hinging what appears to be a very fragile thread, a very little incident. That's what we call it. We look at it as men. We say, yes, well, that's very tiny, minute. So it is, in our eyes. But what of it in the purposes of God? Can you call anything minute that God does in fact, so that the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and centuries beforehand, he begins to work where there's no time, if it comes to a matter of history. Cyrus was forenamed, though he wasn't known, 500 years before he was born. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me, says the prophet. It was he who was instrumental in bringing the children of Israel back free of charge to their own land. A mighty king, not some secondary king, but a man of mighty conquest. Now you have the two extremes, but the leading of the Spirit in matters of providence is a most remarkable way in which God searches He searches, he brings them to a certain place at a certain time. And the more simple it is, the more magnificent it is in the eyes of the receiver. Never say that anything that God does is small. Your footsteps, a left-hand turn instead of a right-hand turn, could be the means in God's hand of you being brought under the sound of the gospel. How many, many times has he done this? And an ordinary incident in life, a quiet decision made in your own home, has led to the word of God's grace searching you out, finding you, bringing you to that you could not get away from and did not want to get away from, so that I will both search my sheep. This brings the word sheep into focus. It becomes a very sweet name and a very desirable possession to be one of the sheep of Christ's flock. It becomes a paramount desire of life, only to be among them. Yes, one of the sheep of Christ's pasture. So that when you come back to the inspired word, you're arrested by the thought of being the sheep in the fold of Christ. It isn't a matter of being the first sheep. And you see, in a flock of sheep, they're all the same. I don't mean that the shepherd doesn't know the difference in them, because he does. A shepherd knows every sheep. That's the great wisdom of an earthly shepherd, that to us they look all alike. But there's one thing about them, you see, they all are one, are a flock. Not one better than the other, more meritorious, more deserving. No, we all deserve eternal death. Thus, we all are evil. So the shepherd seeks and searches, and he uses his own appointed means, and he makes us aware of them. Now, David said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, the rod of the Eastern shepherd was that with which he protected his flock. He had cause to use it too. The staff was that with which he recovered and hooked them back again. When they fell in the water or the like, but David saw comfort in both. Oh yeah, he didn't say one was better than the other. And it means this. The Lord had taught David the same thing as he was teaching all his people in due time. The searching word of God, if it does and is searching you, thank him for it. Value it. It is life, eternal life. It may bring you down, it may discover what you are. You may feel the black sheep in the flock. Never mind. Never mind about that. There is the great shepherd, even I, will both search my sheep and find them out. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ and the Lamb of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.